Thank you, ladies. That was a good job. Real blessing. Appreciate it. Tonight, excuse me, tonight we're going to use our time. We call Wednesday night, sometimes we call it prayer meeting night, and the truth is we don't pray a lot more on Wednesday night than we do on Sundays. But tonight we're going to have it's going to be prayer meeting night. And I want you to look at a few verses with me. We're just going to take our time and I want you to look at a few verses with me tonight. How many of you, think about it now, really, not just say so, but really do believe that God answers prayer? Now think deep about that. If I ask you tonight, could you stand up and give a testimony of a time and a certain thing that you prayed about and God answered it? You know God did it. There was no other way. I think probably all of us that have been Christians any length of time surely ought to have something in our memory bank that would tell us yes. Generally, it would have been something that was pretty important to us, maybe even critical in some situations. I want to look at a few verses on prayer tonight. I want you to go with me to the book of Daniel. And I debated about how much of this to read because it is long. But if you went over to about Daniel 8 or 9, let me flip over and find it myself. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel has been reading in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel references that he's been reading his Bible. You'll find it down in verse 2 that he's been reading the book of Jeremiah, same one that's in your King James Bible. By the way, it was not an original, Jeremiah wasn't, it was a copy. If you remember, the evil king destroyed the original. God said, that's all right, I'll give it to you again. And in fact, I'll give you a little more. And that's the book that Daniel's been reading here as you get into chapter 9. And he's discovered that God's time of punishment on Israel being into captivity to the Babylonians is 70 years. God had a specific amount of time. I won't go into the reason why, but he had a reason for picking 70 years. And that time was about up. But then Daniel is motivated to pray. And one of the tremendous prayers in the Bible is found here in this chapter. I think it would be a great model prayer for our nation today. He says in verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Most of us don't have much sackcloth in our closet and very few ashes. We don't really take it as serious as Daniel took it. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we've sinned against thee. Daniel's praying now. He's praying. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us. And you could look this curse up. It's in the book of Leviticus. It'd be very interesting what God made as part of that curse. He made terror. T-E-R-R-O-R, terror. That's part of the curse that was brought upon them. Interesting today, isn't it? That's the word you hear in the news all the time, huh? Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, that's the book of Leviticus, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, and we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Lord, according to thy righteousness, all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy name, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for our iniquities, our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, include thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. I'm not going to read any further, but verse 20, while he's still praying, God answers. Sends an answer from heaven. And one of the great chapters in the Word of God, and studied by so many so long, is the answer that Daniel gets to this prayer. Now I want you to move over to the New Testament. I want you to move into Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Lord Jesus is talking about some church truth here, about how to conduct in church, how if a brother offends you, how to deal with it, and so forth. And he says in verse 18 of Matthew 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. talking about more than one getting together and agreeing on a request, a prayer request. Now I want you to go deeper over to the book of James. Last chapter of James, James chapter 5. Go over to James chapter 5, and I want you to pick up on three words I'm going to read in this portion, especially three, the whole thing. I want you to pick up on the three words that says prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Four words. Verse 14, James chapter 5. Go ahead, folks, turn over there and look at it as I read. Don't just come to church and let it in one ear and out the other. You got God's very word in front of you. So it'll be precious to you. Open it up and look at it. James 5. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want you to notice this next portion as it uses Elijah here, Elias. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. That means he was human, like us. Subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Yes, God does control the weather. Earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Right now, part of our country, while we're too wet here, part of our country is hurting from drought. That's a big thing. Verse 18, he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I want you to note here that it was God's will to use God's man, Elijah, to bring judgment on the nation of Israel, and it was a judgment of no rain. And then at a definite point, after God had used his prophet to deal with the false prophets, then God said, I want all Israel to see that you pray for rain, and I want you to see it come. I want them to see. I want them to know God did it. Remember, you read the story over there? Yes, God is still in control of the weather. Now, here's what I want to do tonight. And I'm going to give the rest of the time to prayer in this way. I want us to be, and I'm going to try to be as honest as I can tonight. I'll pray a while. But I want all of us to go to the Lord in prayer. You may want to sit in your seat. You may want to come to the altar. I'm going to be honest with you now. If you don't want to pray, after the rest of us bow our head, we won't be looking at you. Just slip out and leave, because you won't be helping none if you stay with the wrong attitude. So I'm going to be really honest with God about this thing. But if you believe in prayer and you believe what you just heard read from his word, then in our own weak way, and it is a weak way, in our own, in the midst of all our faults, let's try to be as honest with God tonight and ask him for help. We need some help, folks. Now, we don't want you to panic over the storm, but it's a big deal. I mean, it can really hurt a lot of people. Scotty, I think about those people down there in Cuba and those islands. Have them in mind when you pray. They're getting it right now. Many of them are. It'll come across the corner of Cuba there and so forth, and several of the islands down there. And God does give us all these promises of prayer. He does encourage us to pray. And then here he speaks of the prayer of faith. Think on that. The prayer of faith. James also says, without faith, he tells us over if a man wavers, he's not going to get anything from God. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, it's easy to say we got faith, but sometimes it's really pretty hard to genuinely have it. And I'm hoping tonight, as much as we can, that we get honest and genuinely come before God. Now, I'm going to speak out loud in prayer. You can somewhat listen to me and say amen in your heart or amen out loud. It don't hurt a thing. But I also want you to have your personal prayer. I want you, really, to also talk to God about our subject. Now, our subject is we want to be delivered from the storm, but not us. We're not just wanting to pray it goes on somebody else. We're wanting to pray it goes out in the ocean and bothers nobody. We want to really ask for a definite turn. Not on somebody else, but away from everybody. That's the way we want to pray tonight. And I think it's a terrible thing sometimes when we're thankful if God just moves the judgment to somebody else. That's not the way it ought to be. We ought to care right across the board. Amen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you as we bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer that you come to the altar, bow your head in your seat, get on your knees at the pew, whatever you want to do. I'm going to stay up here and I'm going to pray a little while, and I want you to pray. If you're willing to do that, let's go ahead and get in with our heads bowed and get ready now. Dear God, we bow before you tonight. Lord, I am just as conscious as Daniel was of your awesome presence. Lord, I have no right of my own self to expect one thing, and it's only by your grace that we can know we're saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we have praying ground through his shed blood and no other way, no goodness on our own whatsoever. Lord, we do know that thou art the great God and that we are just like grasshoppers and dust in your sight. Understand that. Father, it is with fear that we come and ask for a specific thing tonight. But Lord, we want to come like Daniel in our confession of being sinners. And to be totally honest with you, Father, tonight, we could do, all of us could do a lot better as your children than we're doing. Father, our nation is in a mess tonight. It don't know what to do. It's doing wrong. It's in confusion. We are a nation of unclean lips and hard hearts. Father, we've not heeded your word. Many today in this country right now, Father, they might be quiet as they fear a storm or something else, but they've mocked your word. They've mocked you by their lifestyle. They've literally blasphemed your son. Father, I know the ground we stand on tonight. I know it's a ground that has long deserved your judgment. And Father, I thank you so much that we're still able to stand and ask for mercy tonight. Father, we fail to hear your word, your messengers that preached your word in many cases. Lord, we've ignored signs that the older generation have left a scene, and Father, how good you've been to warn us over and over. But Lord, we've ignored thy righteousness. Worse than that, Father, we've lifted up our own righteousness to you, our filthy rags, as though we were had a right to be in your presence. Father, I confess as the pastor of this church, I confess for the membership, I confess, Lord, for the ministries here, I confess, Father, even greater for our nation, that we have certainly come up short. I confess the great sin in our nation today of rebellion against you. Lord, as we read in the text a while ago, I recognize the curse that was given by Moses upon Israel. And Lord, I realize part of that curse was the very fact that you'd let terror come upon the land. Lord, we've seen that. Lord, I fear if Israel was ever under that curse, America's under it tonight, and I confess that, and I'm sorry for that, and the part that I should have done and stood stronger through the years, I confess to you tonight. I confess I haven't been the soul winner or the prayer warrior I ought to have been. I confess that for many of us. I certainly confess it for many churches tonight. And so, Lord, we have no right to ask that you lift your hand if it be coming in judgment upon us. Yet, Father, we do pray to you tonight. Lord, our prayer may not be the prayer of repentance that it ought to be. Few prayers, Father, seem to be offered today with genuine repentance behind them. And Lord, I see it on every hand. But dear God, I do come to you tonight and even confess right now my motive is somewhat selfish. All of our motives are selfish and maybe motivated by fear, Lord. When we see something bad heading our way, then we want to pray. But we forget sometime, Lord, when the sun is shining and things are going good, we confess that. Yet, Lord, knowing your great mercy and your love and compassion and especially your grace that we have in Jesus, Lord, because of that, not our own merit, I ask for deliverance from this storm tonight, if it be your will. I ask not only for us, not only for our ministries here, but those already in its path. Father, there's Christians and churches down there in those islands, and they need you right now, and I pray for them. I pray you might do like you did in the land of Goshen in Egypt. Preserve them in the midst of the plagues that fell. Preserve them in the midst of the storm, Lord, but still protect your people. I ask for that here. Lord, not that we're deserving, or not that we think we're innocent more so than anybody else. Lord, I look through your Bible and I find where you would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if you could have found 10 righteous. I know you care. Father, I read where when judgment was about to fall on Nineveh, you gave them time to repent because there was 60 that didn't know their right hand from the left. 60 babies and you had mercy. And Father, there's innocent kids tonight. Some of them will have very little protection from the storm that's coming. I ask your help there and ask that you might just intervene. I ask for your protection here on this ministry, here at our church and others like us. Father, the repair, the cost that could be used for missions and other things are at stake. And I pray, Father, if it be your will, that you'd turn this thing. Now, Father, we know your promises. We know you'd make good out of evil. Lord, we want your will to be done. And, Father, I know in this storm you could use it to get the attention and maybe even get some folks saved because they'd realize that this storm could be your judgment upon them. Father, I know also in this storm that you could cause a lot of proud men, proud people and sinful people to suddenly realize this is something they have no control over, nothing they can do about it, that it's all in your hand. I pray they would understand that tonight. I pray for the sinful mockers of our time that even this might get their attention. And Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'd ask that you would show your great mercy as a testimony of your power, your grace. And Father, even let the weather map reflect it, if it can be your will, that even as of tonight, as your people pray, that that thing would turn and go out to the ocean and spin out and hurt nobody, and we'd give you the praise for it, and that the world would recognize something unusual happened. Recognize your hand, if it could be your will. Now, Father, tonight, help us to pray the prayer of faith. Father, not just words I've stood up here and said, but Lord, at all this altar and in these pews, there's your people. Some of them are older and some of them are younger. You know their hearts. You know their relationship with you. Father, it might be some little girl or some little boy out there tonight that prays a better prayer of faith than some of us older folks can. And Lord, you'd honor that if it be your will. We just turn it to you, Father. We trust you for it. We ask that you might deliver and that we might be able to continue your work. That somehow, Father, you'd make good out of the whole thing. And that when it's all said and done, we'll praise you. And we'll thank you for a time that we went to the scripture and went to prayer and ask you for that the world would say couldn't happen. And you intervened. We ask for that tonight, Father. And we don't ask in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in our merit, but his shed blood. May you bless, Father, and may we mark this date and mark this time and say, for the rest of our lives, we saw God do something that the world would say was impossible. And we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may return, and it don't mean that our praying tonight was the final way to pray. We can keep on praying. The Bible talks about praying without ceasing. That's a good way to pray, too. Brother Hector, where are you at? Won't choir practice tonight? Now, some of the